You may be seated for our message. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year. New Year's is great, isn't it? It's a time to celebrate, a time to relax a little after a busy season, a time to reflect and renew. And each New Year has come to represent the end of the old and the beginning of the new. That's why you see so many people reflecting on the past year, this year, reflecting on the past decade quite a bit, and where they've come over the last 10 years. But more than just reflecting, you see people looking for what's next. New Year's represents a blank slate in a lot of ways, and because of that, people make New Year's resolutions. Things that they looked at the past year and didn't like as much, or maybe they don't like where they are right now, and so resolving to do something differently over the next year, or maybe this year, over the next 10 years. So I imagine some of you have made New Year's resolutions at this point, maybe a firm, specific goal, or maybe something more vague, but something you want to do. But here's what I imagine about your New Year's resolutions. They're probably pretty similar to other people's resolutions. And here's the top 10. See if yours or your goals might fit into one of these categories. Losing weight, exercising more, quitting smoking or drinking, being a better person, spending more family time, spending less time on the internet, being more organized, getting out of debt, and number 10, being more spiritual. Now, all this is good. All these are good things. Wanting to improve yourself is a good thing. Wanting to be healthier, to live debt-free, to be a kinder person, all good things. I would even say that when done for the right reasons, all of these things are God-pleasing. But there is a problem. There's a problem when it comes to New Year's resolutions. And the problem is this, and I think you might already know what I'm going to say. We're not very good at following them. We are not very good at doing the things we set out to be. And all of these things, you could really sum them up in one way. They're all about being better. New Year's resolutions are about being better, but when it comes to actually being better, we fail. We're not very good at it. Example from my life, one of the things I'd like to do in this new year is eat healthier. But I was tired on New Year's Day, and my first meal may or may not have come out of a McDonald's drive-thru. Didn't take me long to get derailed. I imagine many of us have already been derailed on our New Year's resolutions, these efforts to be better. And along the year, many of our resolutions will continue to fall by the wayside. The momentum we may have now will continue to slip. It's just the way we are. We have a great tendency to fail to be better, to fail at our resolutions, despite how badly we know we need change, despite how badly we want to change, whether for good or maybe impure reasons. We so often fail. So often our resolutions don't succeed. And even those resolutions that we do accomplish, because sometimes we do, usually because we were wise enough to pick something that's actually attainable, even if it was less than ideal. But even those resolutions that do succeed, they never really seem to give us what we really want, what we really crave, what we really need. We strive to look better, to feel better, to be kinder or smarter or more organized. But none of these things ever seem to give us the satisfaction that we really want. At the end of each year, we find ourselves looking back and seeing holes in our lives, things that need to be better. So in 2021, I imagine many of us will make similar new resolutions to fix problems that we were already trying to address. And the fact is, our resolutions, they're never going to give us what we really need. They're never going to answer our biggest problems. The peace we crave is never going to be answered by one of those 10 things on the list. They don't give us life's biggest questions. They don't answer those things. Things like salvation, or the soul, or true purpose. You see, those are things that all of our earthly resolve cannot accomplish. In the end, our resolve will always be lacking. And this right here, this is something we Christians, we need to understand, that our resolve to be better will always fall short. But something else that we Christians need to understand is that's where Jesus comes in. And I start with this topic of resolutions, one, because it's topical, because it is New Year's, but also because our text today speaks to such things. We're in our last sermon of this Christmas According to Matthew series. It's Matthew chapter 3, the account of Jesus being baptized. And in this account, you see two things that fall into this resolutions topic. One, it's a new beginning, much like New Year's, a blank slate. Jesus is transitioning from the first period of his life into his earthly ministry, a new beginning, a time to look at the future and to make resolutions. And in this very text, Jesus, he is making a resolution. And the first part of that resolution is he's going to be baptized. And Jesus' baptism, it's a really interesting topic because it wasn't really necessary. Now, let me rephrase how I said that. It wasn't necessary for him. And John agreed. Upon hearing that Jesus wanted to be baptized by him, John actually tries to prevent him from being baptized because it doesn't make sense. Jesus coming to him to be baptized doesn't make any sense in his head. Because John knows that it is not Jesus who needs something from him. It is John and the rest of us who need something so very badly from Jesus. And John was right. Jesus did not need his baptism. It was simply unnecessary. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, of admitting guilt and turning back to God. Jesus, in fact, did not have any guilt. He did not have any need to turn back to God. John's baptism was also an adoption, a grafting in to God's family. Well, Jesus did not need to join his own family. The point is, Jesus did not need to be baptized. Yet, he came to be baptized. He resolved to be baptized. Even when John, the great prophet, tried to persuade him not to, even when being baptized was admitting guilt and was humiliating for him to do so. But Jesus, answering John's protest, said this: "Let it be so now, for it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." Those first couple words, "let it be so now," they are also translated other places as "allow it this time." You see, Jesus, he realizes John is right, that this baptism is not really necessary for him, but he asks John to make a concession, to allow this thing that doesn't make sense this time. Because while it wasn't necessary for him, his baptism was necessary for us. And it's stated right there in the second half of this verse, because it was fitting to fulfill all righteousness. When Jesus came to be baptized, it wasn't for him. It wasn't for his need. It was for our need. And in that moment, at the beginning of his ministry, he was resolving to be righteousness for us, to be righteous in our stead, to do all the things that we could not do on our own, to do all the things God calls us to do. Those are the things he was resolving to do when he came to be baptized, when he came to admit guilt that wasn't his. Jesus resolved to be baptized, to be righteous for us, to be better for us. And that is what he was doing from his baptism all the way up to where he went to the cross for you and for me, fulfilling the law for us, being righteousness for us, doing what we couldn't. I said before, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He didn't. But we needed him to be baptized. So he was, in order to lead a God-pleasing life for us. So he repented for us, he submitted for us, he died for us to solve our problems, not his, to live a God-pleasing life for us, to be God-pleasing in our place. And the next line of dialogue in this text, it says just that. It is the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." He pleased God in our stead. And that's the only real answer this New Year's. Jesus and what he did for us, the salvation he brings, the life he gives, the purpose he delivers, the peace he has to offer. And yeah, our sin will continue to get in the way of knowing that peace in its fullness this year and every year until he calls us home. But one day, as he promises, we will know that peace and that love in its fullness, a love that resolved to take care of sin for us. So let's go back to resolutions for a second. Let's talk about a vision for 2020. As Christians, our primary focus should not be being better. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with striving to be better. As I said before, it in fact is often a God-pleasing thing when for the right reasons we try to live healthier, to be kinder, to live debt-free. These are good things, but they can't be our primary focus. Being better cannot be our primary focus, because when being better is the first thing we see, it will never be enough. It will never answer our real questions. It will never provide a solution to our real problems. It will never satisfy our souls. Our effort, our resolve will never be good enough. Instead, let our vision for 2020 not be about being better, but instead about seeing Jesus more clearly. It's not about what we can do better. It's about seeing how he makes us better, about what he did for us, about intimately knowing what he resolved to do for you and for me. 2020 vision is about clearly seeing his work for all people. And the love he has for us, seeing that love, it's clearly stated in 1 John. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Seeing clearly is understanding that we are first and foremost a child of God. And as children of God, we are loved. Seeing clearly is not about making ourselves better, but it is seeing how he makes us better. About hoping in a real place, a place where our hope is safe and secure. And 1 John speaks to that as well. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Having clear vision is about putting our hope where it belongs. Having 2020 vision is about seeing him first. Having 2020 vision is about knowing who our God is and what he did for us. We are children of God, and we are made pure and holy by his resolve for us. So let's talk about a 2020 vision together. And in 2020, we as a church, we're going to resolve to do just this. To see Jesus more clearly together, to see what Christ did for us first, and to see what he can do for all people. The year 2020, it is a big year for Christ the Shepherd. It's a big year because not just is it a new year, not just is it the turn of a new decade, but it is our 30-year anniversary. And it is a time to look back at the past and reflect 30 years of God's work happening here. 30 years of providing a clear picture of Jesus right here. 30 years of God's love and the love of his people touching lives here. And I know everyone in this room and every member of our congregation has felt that love and seen him in this place. But as New Year's is not just about looking at the past, 2020 for us as a church, this 30-year anniversary, is also about looking forward to the future, resolving to look forward, to plan for the future. And here's the truth. In our community, right here in Alpharetta and in greater Atlanta, there are a lot of people who do not have clear vision, who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, who cannot see the love the Father has for them. So many people who do not have an answer for their greatest need. There is so much need right here around us for clear vision. And at this church, we function as a pair of spectacles, as a pair of glasses. Our job is to make Jesus clear for others, to make Jesus clear for our people. We are people dedicated to seeing Jesus more clearly and showing that promise to others. And there are so many people who need to see that love. So many people in this modern culture we live in who have pushed faith aside, or their parents pushed it aside, and now they do not know the one thing they really need to know. They don't know what unconditional love looks like, what the love of our God looks like. They cannot see that clear picture. So let us resolve to show it to them, to reach out in acts of love, but more importantly, to show people the gospel, to plainly and clearly show them what Jesus did for them. This is our mission. This is what the next 30 years at Christ the Shepherd looks like. But I got to be honest, it's not going to be easy. There is rocky soil in the ground around us. I can say that because my own generation is the one who is most distant from God. And I don't have a silver bullet answer or a quick solution to reaching them and all the other people who don't know the most important thing in the world. But I do know this. God's word has power. The Holy Spirit is alive and active, and God will work through his church. He will work through this church, through the people here and his people throughout the world. And people's lives will be changed. The gospel will be shared, and people will see God's love. This is our mission, but we can only do it together. We can only do it with God's help. So we're going to start 2020 by planning. Because it's going to take planning, it's going to take intentionality, it's going to take sacrifice. So we're going to start out planning for that future, planning for what the future of ministry looks like here. And we're going to start with what is called a ministry clarity process. Over the next 6 months, we're going to do this, and we're going to ask the question, how do we want our church to look in the next 30 years? Or maybe more importantly, how are we going to proactively prepare our ministries for a changing and difficult culture? How are we going to retool, reshape, revive ourselves to minister to people who need to see God's love for 30 more years of witness? Big questions, tough challenges, but ones we cannot shy away from. Challenges we cannot just wait and see how they play out. Things that we must resolve to face head on. And to start this process over the next few weeks, we're going to focus on stewardship. We're going to focus on laying a foundation for that work to continue. And then with the help of LCEF over the next 6 months, we're going to chew on it together. We're going to brainstorm. We're going to go through that ministry clarity process, and we are going to decide the direction of this church in the next 3 to 5 years with the focus of being strong and faithful and vigilant for 30 years. For 3 decades of showing God's love, setting our ship in the right direction to continue that good work. Our goal is that in the fall, we will launch this mission into action under the title CTS The Next 30, where we will have an opportunity for a thank offering, which is a recognition of all God has done for us in this church and in many churches across the country, and giving us the opportunity to lay a foundation for many more generations to know that love, all with the goal of abundantly providing a clear picture of Jesus, a clear picture for people who need to know his love. These are our resolutions together, not to simply be better, but to see him more clearly, to show people a clear picture of Jesus and his love for us. 2020, it's going to be a big year for us at Christ the Shepherd, but we can only do it together. Only with God's help, we can only do it by first seeing him clearly. And a 2020 vision, clear vision, it is truly not about being better. It's about seeing Jesus more clearly. And that is our vision as a church in the year 2020 and into the future decades, as long as God wills it, to clearly see what Jesus Christ did for us, to know intimately the love he has for us. A love that took the sinless Son of God and allowed him to resolve to save us, to be baptized into a sinner's baptism for us, to live for us, to die for us, to rise for us. His resolution to make us pure in the eyes of God, to deliver peace and salvation and purpose to each of us. And part of seeing him clearly is knowing that purpose. That our purpose is so deeply entwined in delivering that message to others and showing it to others and passing it on and making disciples of all nations. To see him clearly is to know intimately that this message must be shared, that others need to see it, that they need to see Jesus as we do, as our Savior. This is our resolution, to see him and to share him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.